And then I'm not in anybody's way.
So just push that.
Okay. Okay, so the first plan that we adopted was the general plan for the city, and that's a long-range plan for how we're gonna develop the city, what we're gonna do. And there's one chapter called an element in the general plan dedicated just to developing a town center in North Salt Lake. You can see where Hatch Park is in that town center. It's an important, large piece of ground right in the middle of that town center. And then also what's gonna go through this town center is called Bus Rapid Transit, which is a really fancy bus system that comes through on Highway 89 and may eventually transition into light rail. So that is an integral part of the town center as well, that we'll have that high capacity transit coming through. In the general plan, there are several strategies to creating a town center. We did a survey. We had a big public involvement process when we did the general plan. One of those things was a survey, and one of the questions was, what are the necessary ingredients for a town center? And the number one response was to create a central gathering place or plaza in the city. And it's made clear through the rest of the plan that Hatch Park should be that central gathering place and the focal point of the town center. We want to expand Hatch Park all the way to Main Street and 150 North and encourage redevelopment of the properties around it into higher density housing. That will bring more people to the town center if we do higher density housing around that. We want to use Hatch Park for public and private civic events and city-sponsored celebrations. We're going to redesign the area to be, the entire town center will be pedestrian-oriented, so we're going to have expanded sidewalks, street trees, themed lighting, themed signage throughout the town center, and an emphasis on pedestrians and cyclists, but also allowing for all modes of transportation throughout the town center. So we'll have the bus rapid transit, we'll have traditional vehicles, bikes, pedestrians, unicycles, whatever you want. And then we also want to preserve create a historic Bamberger district. I don't know if you guys are aware, but right across the street to the south on Center Street are the original rail station buildings for the Bamberger rail line. And there's still some of the right-of-way going through the town center that was originally the Bamberger rail that went through there.
Are people living in there?
There are people living in there, yeah. Right now they're private residences. Yeah, there's a couple of buildings. There's like a private driveway that comes off of on the south of Center Street. And so there's one right there at the corner of the private driveway and center, and then there's another historic building at the end of that driveway. And then there's a historic building on the corner of Center and Main, the southwest corner of Center Main is a historic building as well. And they were all supportive to that Bamberger rail line. The next plan that we did to implement this town center was the town center master plan. So that's more of a small area plan specific to just the town center. On the left, that drawing there is just kind of an illustrative plan, very conceptual about what it may look like when we implement all these design elements. So we want to make everything more pedestrian oriented, which means we pull the buildings closer to the street. We build them up higher. We have a lot of glass at the street level. And it shows Hatch Park. Of course, that's not the design we're gonna use. And it shows some higher density there on the north side of 150 North. On the right, there's a land use concept. Land use is a planning term that we use. So if you've played SimCity, you know that there's like residential, industrial, commercial, that's basic land use. So this is showing that you have multifamily kind of around the park, you have mixed use, which is commercial or office, and residential in that central area of the town center. This is, again, from the master plan, this is the pedestrian and bicycle network. So you can see it's a pretty rich network in this town center area, and we want, it's very important to community development that we have these all connect into Hatch Park so that this can be a central gathering place for all modes of transportation. Here's just some basic design elements of how we make things more pedestrian oriented. Down on the bottom right, so there's some pictures and examples of kind of similar of how the streets are going to be when we develop out this town center. So we're going to have street trees, we're going to have an expanded sidewalk and themed lighting and planter. We have raised planter beds. If you look at the development right across the street from City Hall, that's kind of what the streets are going to look like throughout the town center now. We want to include things that make it safer and easier for people to walk or ride their bicycles. So on the left, that's a page out of the master plan that just talks about different design elements that you can use. You can make the pavement look different. You can put specific pedestrian signals that are just for people walking. So we'd like to incorporate those elements around the park as well. And here's an example, just another illustration of what the streets, the sidewalks and the street trees and everything are going to look like throughout that town center. Some more of the goals and strategies that we had in the town center master plan were, again, reiterating that we want a distinct identity for the town center. We felt like North Salt Lake doesn't really have a firm identity, and we want to create this town center and make an identity so it can unify all areas of the city. Hatch Park is very important to that and central to that. We want to make the town center the center of activity, the focal point for the city. We want to transform Hatch Park into that community gathering space in the town center, expand the multifamily around the park. We also have in the master plan reimagining the parking at Hatch Park, again, to make things more, to kind of flip things and make things more pedestrian oriented. We are potentially using on-street parking or shared parking, or we've looked at the idea of having, like Liberty Park has, a driveway that kind of goes in a pattern throughout the park and has parking as well. We can use that as like a place for 5K races or something like that. So we're open to all kinds of ideas, but this is just what made it into the master plan. You can see in that image at the bottom, there's a cross section that shows what the roadway might look like. So this would be looking west on Center Street. Hatch Park would be on the right. So it shows some angled parking there on Center Street. So that was just a conceptual idea for what might occur there. We want to incorporate the historic Bamberger rail line into the open space structure. I don't know if you looked closely at that trails map, but that right of way where the rail line used to come through, we want to build like a rail trail there and have that hook into Hatch Park. And then, of course, we want to have public art throughout the town center and especially at Hatch Park. In 2017, we did a survey of the Main Street neighborhood, which basically went from I-15 to Highway 89 and Center Street all the way up to like the Cobble Creek neighborhood. I don't know if you guys know where that is. North of the post office, the neighborhood north of the post office. We asked them several questions about how they feel about their neighborhood in general, the services that are provided there, but we had a significant portion of the survey that dealt with Hatch Park. So these are the type of people who would be walking to Hatch Park. It's not indicative of the entire community or the regional population, but it is just the people who may be walking there. It showed that it's largely an older population right now that lives there. There's not a lot of school-aged children. And that was reflected in the desired amenities that they wanted for the park. These are the amenities, and I'm glad we printed this because it's kind of hard to read on the screen. But walking paths and trails were the number one. They're the clear winner that they want walking paths and trails incorporated at Hatch Park. We did, the survey questions led them a little bit because it didn't have, it wasn't an open-ended question. So there aren't like ideas on here that maybe we didn't think of. So if we were gonna conduct a survey now, we would make sure that we were allowing other ideas. And this also, you should note, so the top like six are walking paths and trails, pavilions and picnic tables, a splash pad, playground equipment, a natural water feature, and a dog park. The last one is pickleball, but I think this was before it really took off. I think it would rate much higher if we did this again now. So that's just some example of what the neighborhood is like there. We've also adopted an active transportation plan, and an active transportation plan is basically any transportation that's not vehicular, so walking and biking mostly. This is a plan for the entire city, and it shows all the bike lanes and trails and walking paths that we'd have throughout the city. We prioritized, and you can see there's an arrow pointing at Hatch Park. You can see there's a lot of bike networks and trails that come right there in the town center. We prioritized all those facilities, and that Bamberger Trail that would lead into Hatch Park, if you look at the image on the right, on the bottom left, that's Hatch Park right there. So this Bamberger Trail that would connect into Hatch Park was in the top two facilities that the city council wants us to develop right away. We've also done a town center branding and wayfinding signage effort. We've adopted this package from a consultant. So they've given us a lot of material to work with in this. We want to create an identity for the town center and for the city as a whole, but we really want people to know when you're entering the town center that it's different. We want you to be able to look around and see that there's something different about this place that makes it special. So we created a logo for just the town center. So we'll use that on all our advertising materials. We'll want to use this with all of our Hatch Park stuff as well. We'll want to incorporate all these design elements in. Here's an example of some of the furnishings that we would have throughout the town center. So there's a special street light that we're using in the town center. We'll have specific benches and garbage cans and bike racks, and we have tree grates that have the city logo on them, bollards that will go at street crossings, things like that. So everything will look different and specific to the town center once you enter there. We also want to have, as I mentioned earlier, a public art component to the town center. Here are some examples that were in that branding document of some good public art. And I think incorporating this throughout Hatch Park is really important. We also have signage that will be throughout the town center that's specific to the town center. This map kind of shows you, it shows you that you will have, I can't use the pointer, but the green ones are entry features. They're these gateway signs that come, so you'll have this big monument sign right as you enter the town center, so you won't mistake it for anywhere else. You'll know exactly where you are. There's trail signs and map signs and pedestrian-oriented signs, and we won't be using these anywhere else in the city. They'll just be in the town center. So here's an example of the trail sign and zoomed in of the map. It just shows you some destinations and how many minutes it may take you to walk there or bike there while you're on a trail. We also have, oh, I should mention, just south of Hatch Park, we have an I-15, a trail that kind of parallels I-15. That leads into Hatch Park. So we have the Bamberger Trail, we have the I-15 trail that both lead right into Hatch Park. The auto-oriented signs are larger, and they just have basically three destinations within the town center, so it's easy to read as you're driving by on Highway 89. The pedestrian signs will be throughout this expanded sidewalk area. We may have some like historical information, some maps of the town center, and the basic destinations that may be there. And we'll have a map sign as well. These banners will go on the streetlights throughout the town center. And then we are also in the process of adopting the Town Center form-based code. So for those of you who don't know what a form-based code is, it's our effort to put into code, put into law, basically, all these big design concepts. And now we're on the ground deciding what a building's going to look like, or how wide the sidewalk's going to be, things like that. So that's the code. And a form-based code cares more about form than function. So a form-based code, we really care what the building looks like, but we don't care as much about what happens inside that building. So in our form-based code that we're proposing, there are different sub-districts. Hatch Park is in the Arts and Park District. Within each sub-district, there are specific types of buildings that are allowed. So in the Arts and Parks, you wouldn't have like a huge, tall building. You have kind of smaller buildings, more modern looking. And so those buildings on the right are examples of civic buildings. So that may be what like a community center that Ken had mentioned might look like within Hatch Park. Just some examples. And then lastly, I just wanted to give you an update on the acquisition of the properties at Hatch Park. So when I say we want to expand all the way from 150 North and Main Street, that would be that entire city block. So the areas in green, we've already purchased, releasing back some of those to tenants. The areas in red, there are three homes that still need to be purchased. And then the areas in yellow, we propose as a phase two expansion of the park. There are some newer duplexes that have been built there that we're kind of waiting out. So that phase two expansion may be several decades out. So we would hope that the park would be designed in a way that eventually it could expand there, but it does not immediately need to expand there. So that's pretty much what we've got going on in community development. Do you guys have any questions about any of that? That's a lot of information. And it's like 78 pages long or something. if you have insomnia. Okay. Hey, Linda, can Sherry speak in? So if she has anything to add, she can. Okay.
I couldn't hear the question.
Oh, and Mackenzie just mentioned that the form-based code was on the website. Sherry, did you have anything to add?
No, if you don't speak into the mic, I can't. If they don't speak into the mic, I can't hear them, just so you know.
Yeah, Linda mentioned it, but she did not speak into the mic when she mentioned it. And also, you sound like an all-powerful goddess.
Oh! Okay. Allie, could you send us a PDF of these or something?
Absolutely.
I want to send it on to those members of the Parks and Arts Committee who couldn't make it tonight.
Yes.
Thank you.
Do you want me to send it just to you personally, Ryan?
Yeah, I've got them on a list, and I'll just email it out.
Great.
Thanks.
Awesome, that was great. Yeah, thank you, guys. That was very informative. All right. So I just threw in an empty spot here for Ken if you wanted to make some notes about this book. Hopefully everybody did their assigned reading. There will be a quiz.
Okay. Well, thanks, David. He told me today he was going to give me a minute, and I wasn't expecting that. But I wanted to thank everybody for being open to the idea of having some homework, a reading assignment, which is always a bummer, I know. But I hope that if you haven't had a chance to read this, that you'll take the opportunity. For me, it was just coincidental that I was reading this book when we kind of started this process. And this author, this is the second book of his that I've read. And for me, it just kind of I connected with the way he looks at urban spaces and the way he talks about cities in a real down-to-earth, pragmatic way that I could identify with. And the thing that I guess caused me to think I should really share this book with the Parks Group is that it just, every time I read what he writes, it just inspires me. It gives me ideas. It opens up possibilities for me. And I hope it does that for you. So I'm thinking we're going to go through some exercises here where we're sharing ideas. For me, this is a really exciting process. The one thing I wanted to also say is I'm appreciative of Allie. She's really an excellent long-range planner. And she and I've worked together almost the exact same amount of time. And so we were together through all this master planning. But you can see that in what Allie what she presented, that the city has done a lot of preparation for this moment to consider Hatch Park expansion. It's we've put in place and adopted a bunch of plans, regulatory tools, ideas that are already in place in these town center plans. And so Hatch Park is really, this is really a thrilling assignment that we have to help the city really make an incredible contribution to the town center. So anyway, I just wanted to point out that I think the city has really done a lot of work to get ready for what we're about to do. So thanks, David.
Awesome. Okay. Couple points of business just before I forget. The women's restroom is down the hall to the right. There's a key in it. Just take the key in with you if you go in there and then put the key back. We leave it locked for Sally's sake. Something else. Oh, yeah. I'm going to explain the throne because I've had like five questions. Yes, we have a throne. TJ demanded it. He's a little bit of a diva. So, no, I'm just kidding. So what we do is Ken knows we have teams down here. And Scott Merrill's our new parks employee today. He had to sit in it this morning. We do what we call the hot seat and all the new people. It'd be fun actually if we had more time to make everybody sit through it and do it because it's a fun thing we do. But that's why this seat exists, and it's got a few cool attachments to it and some fun stuff. So there's the quick explanation. If you want details, I can show you later. I like this book. I did pull out a couple things just because I thought it was interesting. And I Ken kind of said this before he read it, but I really like this quote. Most of the time, cities make decisions that focus on the health and safety of their citizens. We expect that. We don't expect them to think about our feelings. And I think that's the thing really right when we talked last week and making something timeless. It's something that you feel. And I really like the way that whole book goes through this. And I liked this quote too a lot too. He said, great cities build great things and create a sacred spaces. And when they do, the conversations that follow are never about the cost of materials or construction or timelines. They're about the soul of a city. I thought that really just hit kind of, I think, what we were trying to go for last week. And I think the book did a good job of kind of describing that. I think I screwed up the order of my slides, but we'll just roll with it. When I started here 5 years ago, one of my good friends said, I really had little idea about what the city was about. And he said, this city, that city's kind of interesting because there's really kind of a just east side, west side industrial. It's just like the most segregated city. And I think, you know, as I read through this book, I get a lot of calls. We get calls that we only care about the people on the east side. We only care about these people. We only care about this stuff. And I do think that there are some problems. I think this park really, at the end of the day, when I start looking at this, is really just a chance to build something that's, you know, both figurative and literally just a place to come together for this city. and really just build a sense of identity that everybody can get aboard with. So as I read the book, I wanted to bring this up. Many of you know, before I came here, I worked at Murray City for 23 years. The smokestacks in Murray City is what came to mind when I was reading this book. I was still with Murray when they tore these smokestacks down in, I think it was 2000, which makes me feel really damn old. But it was a huge deal in Murray. And as we were going through this, it's just, I mean, who would think that people were so attached to some big, ugly smokestacks? But there was like groups that were forming to save the smokestacks. There was people that were just irate. I remember they broadcast it when they took it down on a Sunday morning. They broadcast it over all the news channels. And they were showing, you know, elderly people that were on the news crying that they were going down. And it was like they lost a part of themselves with these big, huge smokestacks going down. And the city brought in their new logo the next year. And most people don't know this, but the M for Murray City represents the two city smokestacks. And as I was just reading this book, I think as we're creating this, I mean, is something as stupid as the damn smokestacks really galvanized that city in so many ways and still do. People, guys I worked with, you know, that grew up in Murray were upset that they were going down. So just, I do think places like this are sacred. You know, I remember my dad getting a brick from his old high school and they tore it down, you know? So I think we, you know, I'm going to keep saying that we're timeless, whether you get sick of it or not, that's your choice, but we've got a great opportunity here, guys. And I'm excited for it. So I hope everybody did their other homework and been jotting down their ideas, working on their creativity. Like I said, try to shoot for 10 ideas a day. I hope you guys did that because we're going to put things into motion today. So I want to talk about brainstorms. So brainstorms, as I've researched, I've been part of them. I mind map stuff all the time when I'm thinking through problems. And so I wanted to bring up a few things about brainstorms. The goal tonight is simply this. When I leave this room, we're going to have a large list of ideas. We're going to start throwing stuff out, and I think that's going to be fun. That's why everybody wanted to do this. That's the goal tonight. Don't expect anything to be perfect. Don't expect to have some major plan tonight, but I think if everybody comes in with this, like, let's get some ideas out there. I heard stuff last week that I hadn't considered from each department, and I think it kind of even just started to shift some of the things I was thinking about, and I hope that happens again tonight. The biggest problem with a situation like this is the introvert-extrovert thing. I've read a couple books, especially when you start dealing with situations like this, what happens is the people that the extroverts, the people with the big opinions, make lots of noise and dominate these sessions. So we're going to put into place, that's why you guys are sitting at these awesome tables with the different colors. And we're going to try to remedy that in some regards. Basically, you'll take turns, listen to each other, and then keep moving around the table. Now, it seems kind of, somebody might get upset with that structure. If you're upset with that structure, that's because you're probably on the right side and you just want to talk and not be heard. So the objective is shut the hell up, listen, next turn. I tried to mix these tables up with a good group. We got guys from Public Works on each table. We got, you know, we got planners. We separated everybody because just to get different points of view, different perspectives as we start talking. So that's why their tables are set up the way they are. Obviously, with some people gone, it's not perfect, but hey, it's all good. We'll make do. I'm going to give you 20 minutes. Guys, I've talked about this all the time. It's called Parkinson theory. Parkinson theory says this. If you have 2 hours to complete a project or 8 hours to complete a project, that's how long it will take you to do it. Right? You guys should be working on this for a couple weeks now, thinking about it for a while. 20 minutes should flow pretty easy. That basically is giving each of you about 5 minutes to tell what you kind of think. Then what we're going to do is we're going to jump up here, each team. And I'd like you guys, the big piece of paper in the middle and the Sharpie, start just kind of throwing your ideas down on that thing. Maybe have somebody be your scribe or whatever you want to call it. And then we're going to, when you come up and present, we'll kind of do this categorically just to help stir your mind. We'll write down all these ideas. I'll put something together and send it back out when we're done. We'll start talking about a lot of these ideas. I'm sure a lot of teams will have some of the same ideas. I know my guys do. So I want to really quickly talk about these. That might not make sense to everybody, but these are the different ideas. So I want you to kind of start separating things out when we start talking. So I'm not trying to dominate this and give you just my ideas, but I felt like that was really the only way I could kind of explain the way I've thought this through, as far as I'm just going to give one idea of mine for each, which will give me my 5 minutes. You will all get your 5 minutes as well. Go big. I think, obviously, when I'm talking about going big, we're not going to build Big Ben or the Washington Monument. But these are the types of things that I think, like the book talks about, these are the things that the price tag, obviously, for these would be monumental. But these are those photo ops. I was talking to TJ this morning. I always watch, I'm a basketball fan stuff, or, they show the Jazz games and they're on national TV, and they always have the little cutaway right before they go to commercials. All they ever show is the temple. That's it. We don't have anything cool here. Like there's opportunities to make something that's like, cool besides the temple here. These things, if you guys have been to these cities, right? Like Philadelphia's love sign, you go to that thing, there's 100 people around it at all times taking pictures, at all times. The Vegas sign, I don't know how they get these pictures without somebody there, because I've been to all three places and they were packed with people. I'm not proposing any of these things specifically. I'm just saying that these are just types of things that I think really could happen. So my first idea when I'm talking going big is just something that's visible. I called Reagan Signs today. 196,000 people drive past that park a day. Think about that. Like, think about that opportunity to do something that everybody drives past and can see. Fully admit, I didn't know this city existed. Grew up here my whole life. I knew where Woods Cross High School was because I drove past it. I saw it. I think we've got an opportunity to do something big here. A big landmark, something that's seen from the freeway. I think you could do crowdsourcing. We could do some sort of a memorial. Logos, so people understand the sign. You could do a signboard. I think there's a million opportunities to do something that puts us on the map. It could be a big clock. It could be a water tower, like the Thanksgiving Point one. Everybody knows that because you see it when you drive past it, right? That's my think big. That's what I want you guys to think about. Something that's the think big category. Something unique. So this is Rockport, Massachusetts. And there's nothing, I'm not trying to sell you on this field, but this is timeless. We went out here like 5 or 6 years ago. And the train stops right here. This is like 150 years old baseball field. Like, how cool is that, right? Like, just something, a baseball field, but it's different. This is Murray's softball field, and they don't utilize this. They built, basically, it's got some cool concrete seats around it. But I think you could build something that's an amphitheater that could be used for softball, football, kickball, different leagues, adult leagues. We get calls all the time that there's not recreation in this city. That wouldn't overlap with what South Davis Rec does. Do adult leagues, and you could set it up so it's a multi-use thing. You could do concerts, movies in the park. You just establish some form of seating, well maintained. And I think that something like this, it'd just be a single field, wouldn't take up a ton of stuff. And you could make it a destination park where you hold tournaments. You let big things go on there, make a beautiful backdrop, and people would love to be a part of that. You could go out and get corporate funding, Maverick softball field at Hatch Park or whatever it is. Again, just trying to incorporate kind of some of the needs, like as far as recreation, and I think you could make something timeless still and make it multi-useful. That's kind of thinking unique. That's that category. Amenities. That seems pretty self-explanatory. I go a little bit different. I think, you know, a lot of things are overdone. Like I liked the book talked about a community living room is I think the term they used. My brother-in-law, my sister got married in Mexico, and they had a huge chessboard like this at the resort. And my brother-in-law, who's a 40-50-year-old doctor, was playing this little 10-year-old kid in chess. It was pretty funny. But something like this, where a community could gather around it, you know, family home evening type stuff. People, you know, just go get into games, do stuff like this. I mean, I think you could go get corporate help. Maybe you do a huge Sorry game or a different game like that. Just lots of options to do something a little bit different for an amenity that multi-ages would be interested in, just something fun. Something to consider. Now, I think that this category, when I was looking at it, I felt like this is just a, you know, like pickleball is obviously something to consider. We get some of these areas. One I thought up was basically, we've got a huge autistic community. These autistic parks and playgrounds are starting to show up. I think we could do something really cool, and that the community would really support it, just based on what we've got. Public needs. I just mentioned pickleball. We've been inundated with the calls and people really want the pickleball. Well, kind of like the softball field, we could do, I Googled it. There's not like, this is the biggest pickleball tournament, and that's not really an overly impressive thing. You could do an outdoor seating, you know, have championships, have big tournaments, get people to come to the city to eat. You know, you could make this the Wimbledon of pickleball, really, because it doesn't exist. I looked. Small details. This is stuff that I think probably, like, my guys are going to probably look into more of, like, the details as far as maintenance. Just the smaller things that I think make a big difference, right? To me, one, we spend a lot of time just moving signs and with reservations. I think this is a Disneyland one. This isn't the best example, but like digital signs that show pavilion rental that you could do city event information, park information. You could basically do ads for Eaglewood Golf Course. You could do all sorts of things by just having signs that we don't have, you know, that are maybe movable. And the wild card, I just wanted an open category so you guys could say whatever you wanted. There's probably something I didn't think about that doesn't fit. I just was like thinking, you know, we need to tie stuff in like the triangle above City Hall. And, you know, how do you make that walkable and kind of part of the park? I know there's the other property that it's the Bamberger Trail or whatever. It's just to the north, right? Just some of those other areas. You know, I think it's interesting with Copark seeming to leave, like maybe you expand the park to the other side of the street. You know, I don't know. There's just a lot of different things like that. So wild cards, basically anything. Any questions on the categories? I'm sure you can overlap lots of stuff. I'm just trying to get your brain thinking a little bit differently. I think that's all I had. Yep. So the objective now is I'll set a timer. We'll go 20 minutes. Take turns, just go around in a circle, keep coming up with ideas, writing them down, and then in 20 minutes we'll do presentations, okay?
Hey, can I just ask a question? Three phases, you said, of this, the development. So is the town center considered the first phase that's currently done? Because you were talking about, you know, on the north end, expanding the park.
Just two.
Okay, so phase one, you guys are, we want it to be completed by when? 5 years? Is that what it is, 5 years?
That's, yeah, the design's going to start as soon as we're ready to start, so.
And then budget?
There is no budget.
Yeah.
There's no budget.
Right now, Ken says go nuts.
So right now there's not a budget, but we're purposely not talking about finances right now. We did not approach this from, we have $2 million, what can we do?
And the logic.
We did this on purpose.
Yeah, very much on purpose. To me, like, if we wanted to build like the St. Louis Arts, it's probably not going to happen, right? But those ideas are worth talking about because maybe we come up with something similar that is doable. And that's why you don't want to put limits on anything right now. All right, guys, 20 minutes. Have fun. Yeah, that big blue piece of paper in the middle for you guys, and the Sharpie marker there, just kind of a sign of scribe. If the big huge table, yeah, the big green. So you could come present it and have pictures of whatever you want to do.
I'm going to go to the next one. Oh, does this? Oh, that works too. Okay. So we have a, like a big treehouse playground area thing. Like, so it kind of goes big, but also amenities and something unique because it's huge. It's ginormous. You can see it from the freeway. A treehouse, like actually interactive in your treehouse, so that some more of our ideas kind of loot back into that treehouse. Multi-level walking paths, an amphitheater with for food truck roundups, physics, get the playground to be physics oriented where kids have to work together to make something work. Kind of an outdoor curiosity museum of sorts where you are in your natural element and you're trying to get things to work together. Colorful murals where like the sound walls, maybe have people come in and paint murals on the sound wall so it's not just like this big concrete barrier. And permanent snack foods, a shake or a snack shack cafe of ideas, kind of like what Ryan was saying a couple weeks ago, to bring in some of the retail points and all hours of the day have stuff from the morning and then into the evening so that there's that sense of community and there's people out to be safe. And I lost where I was on the list. What if there was no space for fields or recreation, like the big team sports? I mean, we kept that down at Legacy. And lots of trees, a forested area, which would go back to our treehouse idea. Fitness, rock climbing, a slack line, indoor, outdoor. Maybe an open air market that we could put where the city hall amphitheater is and then have people cross the street. So it kind of incorporates both areas. We talked about the city center there at Jackson Hole with those arches of the antlers where it's like at any point you can get out and go to something else, but then that's the hub. And water flowing through the area. An entry feature, kind of like those arches, and like a building, like a city center for a library, a meeting room, a senior center, social services maybe could go in there for like one day a month or something so people know where they can go to get help. Fitness on an upper floor of that with a cafe or something, and incorporate the Memorial Amphitheater and maybe do veterans' names on the cement or what have you, and something really big, a landmark that you can see. Go big. Something. We didn't have an idea for that, except our treehouse. Really big. You can keep our paper.
Is there something I missed right off the top that you guys?
Can you hear me? Okay. We didn't have as many ideas as Blue. We got into, I guess, a little more detail on ours. So, of course, I think the one of the most important things, and I think you guys mentioned it too, was a good walking trail we need for this park. There's so many people that would use that. Number two, we talked about an amphitheater. And we talked about doing it. If you're familiar with Hatch Park, you know about halfway through on the west half is where the walking path is. And right below the, on the east part of the walking path, there's a drop of, I don't know, 10, 15 feet, would you say, TJ? And that would make, I think, a perfect place for putting, you could build the seats into that slope. And that would just fit real nice. Also, we had talked about that same area, and I mentioned this last week about we have water that comes down the storm drain system. It's a major storm drain line that goes down Center Seat. And we could collect that water. There's about 50 gallons per minute, which is a pretty good amount. And we could take that water and build a stream that could go through there. And I really like the idea of using that same area, just one section of that steep area, and building a nice rock type with a rock design with a waterfalls on there that would look really nice. And we then started thinking a little more outside the box, and maybe in that same area, I don't know about the liability, but doing like a slip and slide where maybe we had some plastic things the kids could grab and just shoot down there. So that was the red table, not me. So. And then Scott came up with a great idea for a game there. Like you'd kind of maybe along the walking trail do like Monopoly, but instead of like Boardwalk and Park Place, we would do city names, like, or instead of the railroad, call it the Bamberger Rail, and do different things like that and just paint them into the actual walking trail. I guess that's about all we had. So. Anyway, okay. You can think of that maybe we didn't write down. What about your triangle idea? Why don't you come up and talk about that real quick?
Sure. Just to have a really big focal point that was whatever the focal point was, that it was a three-way that it's was seen from three different angles, like a clock that was three different angles. So if that makes sense. Yeah, I like the clock idea. I like that you can see time from three different ways. So you don't have to see it, you know, you just have to be like on the east side or something. You know, like when you do things on a, it's pleasing to the eye on a triangle. So that in that way.
Oh, and one more thing we talked about on that stream. Maybe where it flattens out near the west end, we could spread it out a little bit and almost like make maybe a little wading pool that would only be like 12 or 18 inches deep where the kids could just run in it and splash around and have fun.
There's in Daybreak, TJ and I have gone over and seen it. They actually have like little, like they can valves where kids can turn it and redirect water and stuff. It's pretty amazing.
All right, we wrote ours down in my book, so we don't have a big paper for you. We should have wrote it there. Okay, we had Sherry in our group and Randy. So, our first thought was to go big, have some sort of monument. We were thinking of the city logo for the town center with the mountains and the NSL and the river, but making it so you could see it from Google Earth. So from outer space, so when you scroll over the park, you see the logo instantly built into the park. But the way some smart artists would have to figure this out, but it's also visible from the side. So if you're looking at it from the freeway, you see the logo on the side. But then when you're looking at it from outer space, you can see the logo in the park. And we thought the logo itself could be played on, right? Like you interact with it. So the big giant NSL letters, you can sit on them and stand on top of them and take your photo, and then you can climb on the mountains, or I don't know if the river is made of concrete or whatever the artist comes up with, but you interact with the logo itself. It was kind of our big idea. Sherry also had the idea of a fire-breathing dragon of just something. And we liked this, you know, there's a thought that it doesn't matter what your unique thing is, as long as it's unique and then everybody knows what it is. So something you can interact with. Okay. The next idea was kind of the park's like 12 acres and people don't utilize every square foot of all of the park. So we talked about how at Legacy Park right now, most people just use the splash pad and the playground, and 99% of the year, everybody's congregated in that small square footage area. But then during flag football, man, 100% of the park is used, right? But most of the time you have a day use that's just right there. So we thought, what if we design the park as kind of our intense use, designed for daily use section, and then the rest of the park designed for non-daily use, these other events or features. And so in our intense use area, we thought of a little village, kind of a place that either little shops could be in or a little village feel that you look like you were in a little town, like our own little Main Street, because we don't really have a Main Street. So our own little Main Street feel. And Sherry had a good idea of if you could somehow incorporate a food truck into that. Maybe your Main Street is the food truck can pull up to those and then they sell out of your Main Street little shop or somehow. I don't know how that works. So kind of that intense use area. So then if you're thinking intense use, for the daily use, go overboard there, like tons of shade, way too many benches, way too many things so that all the people are there. I think if we had 40 or 50 more benches at the splash pad, they would still all be used, right? So, but you don't need 40 or 50 more benches randomly along the trail. Nobody sits randomly along the trail, but you do need them in the intense daily use section. Okay, the next thing we kind of talked about was our how the whole, that intense use needs to be designed for year-round use. So we talked about year-round a lot, making sure they could be used all the time. Okay, so for the rest of the park, we thought, how do you make the park work for people from all three entrances, from Center, Main, and from 150 North? And so Sherry had a good idea about maybe different playgrounds for each area for people that are coming or different amenities, but what if we focused on those amenities for different age groups? So you had one amenity section that was clearly designed for 15 to 18-year-olds or, you know, 14 to 18-year-olds with very big zip line and unique structures, and then other playgrounds that are clearly designed for younger children to kind of separate out those groups. Okay, help me if I'm forgetting anything. Okay, then other ideas. So we talked about walking trails. And one thing, especially with COVID and what people are like, is while some people like to be where the intense use is and where they can interact with other people and feel a part of the area, some people just don't want to see another human being ever. So what if along, like out on the walking trail or some other areas of the park, we had a little picnic table or a bench or some things scattered around where you knew you could go to the park and have your own spot and no one would talk to you. Sometimes it's nice that your kids won't wander off and go in, like disappear. You could just have your own little spot. And you don't have to reserve it. You just walk around the trail until you find yours. So we talked about that. And then for the non-intense use area, that side field use area, we really thought the pickleball stadium was kind of a cool idea. We'd never thought of that before, and we talked about that. Like, what if we had a stadium feel or a use that was different? So softball field with lights so it could be used late, or pickleball with lights so that it could be used late to use that. And then lastly, we talked about the river a lot. That water draws people. We like rivers. If you have a river through. And then Sherry had this really cool idea where what if the river had little like sprinklers or something on the side that in the winter time when it was below freezing, we turned them on and the river became kind of like the Midway ice castles, but the whole side of the river froze in a unique looking way so that you knew this was a year-round park, right? The river is there for the summer, and then this like ice structure, you have to be colder than it is this year, but could be kind of neat throughout the year. The minor things we added in were that we don't want to forget pickleball, we don't want to forget swings, and we don't want to forget a library. Did we forget anything else? Okay, thank you.
I think you pretty covered it.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, I'm going to stand here instead of going up there. TJ had already been talking with David, so some of the ideas were theirs together, so they're kind of repetitive. For going big, TJ had mentioned the water tower. We had talked about like a large water feature of some kind. And then I mentioned a Bamberger rail car. I know that Ogden City owns one of the old Bamberger rail cars, and I know somebody who can restore one so we could have a big train car somewhere in the park. Under the unique things, the train one was also on there, but also having a functional train going around the park. And we had talked about combining that with the water feature. So if you've ever been to Thunder Junction down in St. George, they have like a water feature section with a big waterfall and stuff, and then the train kind of goes around the park. But if we could do it so that the train goes like on top of a waterfall or underneath a tunnel of water or something like that, that would be cool. Also, there are the old Bamberger rail buildings just across the street on Center Street. And there were people living there that were artists, and they used to open up their homes for kind of art gallery strolls. And so we thought about maybe getting a hold of those buildings somehow and making them public amenities so we could do a gallery stroll on that private driveway in those old rail buildings. And so people would park at Hatch Park and then cross the street and do a gallery stroll on that private driveway so we could kind of extend the park amenities out to those historic buildings. With the train functioning, we wanted it to function in the winter as well. So maybe you sell hot chocolate out of the train. People ride the train and have a hot chocolate. We had talked about having ice skating, potentially like a ropes course, and climbing walls, zip lines. We have good elevation there, elevation changes there, so we could do some zip lines in the park. A fitness trail, so that's where you put like really simple exercise equipment off the sides of the trail so that as people are going, they can exercise and then continue to walk and exercise some more. When I was a kid, I really enjoyed Liberty Park. There were a lot of things about Liberty Park that I loved. One of the things that used to be there when I was younger was a water feature that was, it was supposed to look like the seven canyons that come out of the mountains. And they just had these like concrete gutter things that came down and water flowed through them. And the kids would just splash in them and play in them. So some type of really simple water feature that like kids can just splash in. They'll love it. And under something to consider, we mentioned another thing about Liberty Park is that it's not overly programmed. So they just put in like a giant hill and then everybody decides what they want to do with that hill. Or you have big trees that are kind of close together so you can put up a slack line or whatever you want to do. So I just want to make sure that we're not over programming this park so that people can use it in whatever way they want to use it. That's within reason, obviously. Under public needs, we think that a dog park is necessary. TJ agrees. He told me. He agreed. I heard him. You're my witness. And then the community center is obviously another public need. In that form-based code that I talked to you guys about, there's different types of buildings that are allowed. And in this arts district, one of them is called a limited bay building, which is basically how you would reuse a former like warehouse building. So if you had like an auto body shop that has a big bay door, you repurpose it into a coffee shop or something. And so you open up that bay door and there's seating in that area. And it's just this really cool kind of gritty type of building. So repurposing, like I recognize we don't have those type of buildings, but if we can use that kind of theme to like make it look like we're repurposing it, I think that would be cool. And then Christmas lights was another one that we had. If we had like a driveway going through, we could have like a drive-through Christmas light thing like Layton does. Or we could just have a walk-through Christmas light display. We thought it was really important to make this a year-round park so that it can be used in the winter to the same capacity that's used in the summer. Did I get everything? Oh, and June told me she wants a really big slide. So do that and then name it after her.
Burn your skin off your thighs. Go, Horrocks.
Hello. Yeah, maybe I do need some help here. Thank you. So we decided to draw, because that's more fun than writing things down. One of the big things that I was thinking is actually kind of having a sectional park. So there's kind of like themes throughout the park and kind of like in a pinwheel, similar to like how Disneyland is. And along with that, to go along with the rail theme with Bamberger, kind of having this operating railroad go through these individual sections with different, you know, stations and interpretive signs, maybe incorporating some history from the city in there. In the middle of the park, having like a fountain, Linda says Bellagio, I say more like the Buckingham Fountains in Chicago. The Buckingham Fountains, it's beautiful. We don't have enough room for that one, but probably a scaled down version of that for sure. Married with Children. And I think it's also Friends, even though Friends is New York City, I think they shot that scene, the fountain scene in Chicago. So that in the middle, but also around the fountain, incorporate some of that art that we're wanting in there. Just kind of have more of a cultural area in that spot. Lots and lots of trees is something that we've been talking about also. Playgrounds, we've talked about having different playgrounds throughout the park. Waterfalls, water feature, just with the river that we're talking about coming through. Having like little ponds in there that kids can play in. Yeah, it's dirty, yucky water, but kids don't care. Other things on here, we've had ideas of frisbee golf, chess tables, and kind of like a learning area. Let's see, what else do we have on here? Walking trails, definitely just kind of a lot of trails that kind of meander through there. So people can pick their own route and what they want to do. Sports at Legacy, we've kind of been mixed on that in eliminating the fields altogether and just having it be a park, but also having baseball and pickleball there, but not football or soccer. Let's see. Volleyball was another idea that we had to have there, and a pond that connects to that water feature. Is there anything else, Linda? Dallas? Yeah, natural playground, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, Sherry, just so that you know, since you probably couldn't hear, natural playgrounds kind of interact with, like, boulders and water. There's a couple parks that have, like, these rivers that kids can play with dams and divert water throughout the park. Dallas, he said he heard from somebody about having throughout the walking path little stations for people that to have training. Like we have like a pre-recorded instructor on certain workouts you can do when you're walking around the park. I thought that was kind of a cool idea. Anything else? Okay, I think that's us.
Well, I think we're off to a good start. That's all I have for tonight. I'll put this information kind of together and shoot out an email in the next couple days for everybody. And we'll kind of just look on how to progress here in 2 weeks from now. So that was fun. Hopefully everybody had a good time. I think we're pretty close to a lot of the same ideas. It seems like just walking around, I think we're on the right path. So thanks for everybody for coming and grab some food, and we'll see you next time. Thanks. Do you have more chapters you want to read?
You know, I kind of, I'm glad I have another chance to say something. When you read chapter 4, you probably thought, well, the city manager wants to have bars in downtown North Salt Lake. So that's not really true. But, you know, I think all the chapters are really interesting. Now that you have a little more time, if you want to go back to the beginning and kind of read it, they're all thought provoking and interesting. So hopefully it's helpful to you.
Unplug those?